1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you of that place called heaven. God, I pray today as we listen to get something from your word to help us to be better Christians. God, work on our hearts today. Do what needs to be done in our lives. We need to hear from heaven today. Father, and for this to be accomplished, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power. Use him as he comes to help us. And then, Father, also, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know 100% for sure they're going to heaven, I pray at the end of this service they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I will give you now the cell phone warning. Heed this carefully now. If your cell phone goes off during the service and we hear it, vibrate or silent is fine, but if we hear it, there will be a sudden gust of mighty wind that will tear the roof right off whatever you live in, whether it's a house, apartment. So I live in my car, then the roof's gone on the car. That's it, folks. This is it now. So make sure you got your cell phone turned off or turned to vibrate. Help us there, please, this morning. The message and the purpose of this message is very simple this morning. Today, I want to declare unto you clearly the doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. I'm afraid in our churches today we're avoiding doctrine now and we're trying to deal with circumstances and situations. And that's good. We should do that. But I think also we're missing the important doctrines of the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, let's be clear today. The Bible teaches from Genesis to the Revelation, by analogy in the Old Testament and by principle and by commandment in the New Testament, that once you are saved, you are going to be kept in that same saved condition from the moment of your salvation forever. The eternal security of the believer. See, well, I'm pretty sure I already believe that, Pastor Johnson. Then you will believe it for sure if you'll listen carefully this morning. You need to get that nailed down, folks. You need to understand that we're not born again and 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 again. Some of you need to quit asking Jesus to save you every Sunday. Some of us need to nail this thing down, that once you are saved, you are always saved. And that's a clear doctrine in Scripture. We need to be very clear. Now, I won't cover all the Scriptures. There are dozens of them in the Bible. There's a track out here in the foyer. Once saved, always saved is the name of the track. It has dozens of Scriptures in there. I want you to take that today. Take it with you. You need to read it over. Have it carefully with you. There are a lot of churches today that preach that if you don't live it, you lose it. That you have salvation just as long as your life backs up the salvation that you have. And if you don't live right, you undo the work of grace of God. If you stop to think about that statement, that's insane. How do you undo grace? Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. You don't deserve grace, so you can't undeserve grace. Bad English, but you understand the point. Now, the point this morning, and I'm going to ask you to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to ask you to not follow the Scriptures that I'll read to you today. And stay right here, because 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 is not only one of the clearest verses on eternal security. It is one of the most definite verses. It lays down some important principles of the security of the believer. And I'll tell you what it does, 1 Peter 1, 5. What it does is it answers the important questions that are asked about eternal security. And that's what we're going to cover this morning. Questions answered about eternal security of the believer. 1 Peter 1, verse number 5 again, please. And the Bible says this. Please notice carefully. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Question number one this verse answers for us is when is it that the believer is secured are kept by God. When does this happen? Does it happen at salvation? Does it happen after your salvation? Is it something separate of salvation? We say this often here, and I want you to get this clearly. The salvation of the believer and the security of the believer are not two doctrines. They're the same doctrine. Because your security of your salvation is given you at salvation. Look at verse number 5. Look what it says. It says, who are kept by the power of God. Now notice the statement, please. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Through faith unto salvation. We are kept through faith at salvation or unto salvation. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior, not only are you saved at that moment, you are secured at that moment. So security isn't separate of salvation. It's the same doctrine. It doesn't take place after salvation. It takes place when you get saved. So the moment a person realizes they're lost, they are sinners, they need a Savior, and they turn to Christ in repentance of faith, trusting Him for their salvation, the moment that they do that, not only does God save them, He secures them. That very moment of salvation. Now listen very carefully this morning. Let me just read the scripture to you. In Romans 8 and verse 30, the Bible says this. Listen. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. For whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. There are three great doctrines to the Christian. Justification, sanctification, glorification. Justification is the act whereby when you trust Christ to save you, God saves you in that moment. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So justification is the act. It's a moment. The moment you trust Christ, God justifies you in His sight. It means just as if you'd never sinned. He declares you as righteous in His sight. Now listen, Romans 8:30 says, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. At justification, you're saved in that moment. Then glorification, that's the process whereby God takes you, is the process whereby God takes you through that process of making you like Jesus. Setting you apart from what you were to what you are supposed to be. Okay, justification is an act. Sanctification is a process. And that process begins at salvation. And it continues until glorification takes place. Third event, glorification is the act whereby God resurrects and changes you and makes you, gives you an eternal body and makes you just like Christ. So it starts with justification, salvation. It ends with glorification at the return of Christ or at the resurrection when He changes you. Both of the events, front and back, justification, glorification, are an event. They take place in a moment. Sanctification is the process where you become like Jesus. Romans 8:30 says this, listen again. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. If you are justified, you will be glorified. Sanctification has no effect on whether or not you will be saved or whether or not God will claim you as His own or whether or not there'll be a day of the resurrection when you're... That's not sanctification. Sanctification has nothing to do with the fact that once you are justified, God said they will be glorified. So the moment you trust Christ, He guarantees that salvation will be effective until the resurrection of Jesus Christ and you're caught up. And we'll show you it lasts even longer than that in just a moment. The Bible says also this, listen, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, in whom also you also trusted, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, listen, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When I, as a sinner, trust Christ as my Savior and believe the gospel is how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. I'm trusting the payment Christ made for my sin. In that moment, when I believe, the Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, I'm then sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption. That's another expression for glorification. So the moment that you are saved, He seals you to the moment when He will come to take you to Himself. God's seal. That's God's stamp. That's God's stamp of authority. That's God's stamp of possession. He claims you as His own. Now, dear people, get this picture this morning. Do you know when you were secured as a believer? The moment you trusted Christ, He saved you. He sealed you. He secured you as his child. And nothing you can do can change that. Nothing. Now, the question isn't, am I a secure believer? The question is, am I a saved believer? You know what people often say? I had a man ask me this yesterday. Well, then if you believe once saved, always saved, what happens if you go out and murder people and you rape and maim the public and you said that you got saved when you were younger and then you go out and live a wicked life? Are you still saved? I mean, after living like that, does that change anything? Could that affect anything? I said to this man, same thing I always tell people. I doubt whether the man was ever saved. I question whether or not the man had salvation. Does that mean Christians don't sin? Didn't say that. See, what we need to question, ladies and gentlemen, isn't are we secure? The question we need to answer and be sure of is, are we saved? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The whole point is this. Don't doubt security. What you better question is your salvation. That's what I'm finding today happening more and more among professing Christians. They have this salvation that they think they have to earn. That's not salvation. Plus, they believe it's a, then there are many who believe it's a salvation. If you don't deserve it, you don't get to keep it. That's not salvation either. Let's be clear this morning. Salvation is wholly of grace, all of grace. It is all of God. It is all of a gift. And you receive it by faith, or you do not have it. You put works to your salvation at any point and you don't have salvation. You didn't lose it, friend. You never got it. You didn't have it and gave it away. You never received it because you didn't receive the gift of God. That's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's do this morning. Let's make certain that if we have doubts about eternal security, that our doubts, my dear friend, are settled in the matter of salvation first and foremost. Do you have biblical, simple, pure, wonderful salvation through Christ alone? Because the moment you trust Christ, he seals you. The moment you trust Christ, he secures you. The moment you trust Christ, he signs you as his child and you belong to him. That's when security of the believer takes place. But you have to have biblical salvation to have that. I want you to understand this statement very carefully this morning. I don't understand why Christians today believe that the eternal security of the believer is an optional belief or not. Well, some believe that, some don't. I say unto you this morning, if we understood salvation like we should and like we ought to, we'd understand there is no question about the security of the believer, none whatsoever. So it's not an optional thing. Do you have to believe in eternal security to be saved? No. But you can't put works as part of your salvation at any point. When you receive salvation, when you trust Christ, you better be trusting Christ alone to save you and nothing else. But if you put works in there, you don't have it, my friend. Guaranteed. And it isn't that you lost it because you didn't live right. You never had it to begin with. And it doesn't matter how long it's been. You say, well, I trusted Christ. But then, see, I went to a church that taught if you don't live it, you lose it. But I remember asking Christ to save me. As long as you were trusting Christ alone, fine. But if you had works in there, you better check that now. You better make sure there are no works. There is nothing to be added to the bloody cross of Jesus Christ. There is nothing to be added to the cat of nine tails. There's nothing to be added to the suffering and the payment that Jesus made. You better not put anything with that today. It's all of Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Salvation. When are we secured? At salvation. What if a person is saved and never lives for God and stops doing the things they're supposed to do? I say unto you, most of them were never saved to begin with. They didn't have it and lose it. They never had it to begin with. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 5 answers the second question. Since we are secured at salvation, how are we secured and saved? How are we kept by God? How does it work? Look at the statement. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Who are kept, listen now, by the power of God. That means this, my friend, it is God who keeps us. The word kept in the Bible means not only to walk guard, but it means to walk guard in advance of something. Do you realize that when God saves you, he knows what he saved and who he saved. He knows that. He knows he got sinners saved by the grace of God. He knows that he took us as his child. And ladies and gentlemen, he knows that we have a fallen nature. By the way, God doesn't justify that. God doesn't accept the fact. He doesn't say, okay, fine, you're sinners, you'll sin. He does not say that. He knows what he got when he got us, though. He knows that he got sinners. And so consequently, he knew that when we got saved, there would still be the propensity to sin. So when he keeps us, the Bible says, he walks in advance of the fact that he knew after you trusted Christ, you'd sin. Did he want you to? No. Is he happy that you do? No. Is it okay with God? No. It is not okay with God. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God keeps us. It means he walks in advance of our salvation. He walks in advance of our security to protect us from the fact that we are sinners. And ladies and gentlemen, if he left your salvation up to you and the security of that salvation up to you, we'd all be in trouble. You'd been in trouble this week. Not me, just you. You've been in trouble this week, yes? Go ahead and rattle your head, you Baptist. You know what I'm talking about. You know it's true. If God didn't walk ahead of you, don't you understand God knew that you got when you got saved after salvation, he knew there'd be a few more years, a few more days, there'd be a few more events of things that would happen in our lives. And if God didn't keep us, walk ahead of us and secure our salvation, we would undo what God did. Oh, but listen now. That means we have no part in our security. It says, who are kept by the power of God, not by the power of your life. Who are kept by the power of God, not by the power of your holiness. Who are kept by the power of God, not by the power of your living. Who are kept by the power of God, not by the way you live or do not live. It is God who does this. He's the one who keeps us. And how does he do that? He keeps us by the power of God. You know that word power is the word dunamis. It means the almighty, powerful, creative work of God. Do you understand what he did when he saved you? He then put his power, his creative power, whereby he stepped out onto nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. That power, he put that behind keeping you saved. Yeah, but what if I? Well, then the question isn't what if you. The question is God able? Can he do that? Can God do this? Is he greater power than your power? Is he greater power than the power of sin? Is he greater power than the power of this world? Is he greater power than the power of flesh? Is he a greater power than the way you live your life or you don't live your life? You see, my security is dependent upon the power of the Almighty God who stepped out on nothing and spoke the worlds into existence. My security is dependent upon God's ability to keep me. And friend, God is able. Well then, Pastor Johnson, I could just go do anything I wanted to. I said you're kept by the power of God. It's a wonderful principle. It means God secures each of his children individually. And that means he has that much individual care for each of his children. It also means he knows what each of his children are doing. Security doesn't give you irresponsibility. It gives you a greater sense of responsibility. Do you know why? Because the power of God not only keeps me, it means the power of God watches over me in my life. And guess what? There's nothing but nothing but nothing like knowing the Almighty God of heaven will unleash that power not only to keep you saved, but to keep you right if necessary. It's the old story in the Bible. It's a great one. The kings go out to battle. One of them hides himself. And in the hiding of the battle, he thinks he's getting away with something. And the Bible said a bowman drew a bow by a venture. And he just shot an arrow out into the sky. God took that arrow and stuck it between the shoulder blades of that wicked king. Because God found him in the middle of a battle in an army. My friend, you have to understand something. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Walk out of church today and never go again. You could walk out of the will of God and never come back. You could turn your back on God and walk away from Him. You have that ability. God would let you do it, and it would not change your salvation for a moment. But do not think for an instant that God's going to let you do that without His hand coming into your life. Who are kept by the power of God. It's one of those good, bad things. It's good. God's power keeps me. It's bad. God's power keeps me. Sometimes Christians get the idea, well, I'll just quit going to that church. I'll go somewhere else. That doesn't change the truth. Excuse me, the truth doesn't live in Shasta Baptist Church. See this? This is the truth. And the God of heaven is behind this. You can walk off from here and go to the other side and get you on a ship to head out to Nineveh if you want to. You can get on a ship and head out to the other side of the world if you like. But God will find you. He found Jonah. Jonah was out there in the middle of a ship trying to hide from God. Didn't work, did it? And a storm came, and it chucked him over the side of the ship, and he was swallowed by a great whale, the Bible says. Interesting how God can find people in any circumstance or situation. I'm not trying to advocate license this morning. I'm trying to help you realize you have a secure salvation. As the old country preacher said, you're so saved you could be wrapped in a corn silk, swing out over hell, sing an Amazing Grace and spit in the devil's eye and come back to God. Not a problem, friend. But the truth of the matter is you don't want to mess around with the power of God that keeps you. But it's not because we have to keep ourselves saved. It's because God does that, who are kept by the power of God. By the power of God. And there is no power greater than that. Question number three, 1 Peter 1, 5 answers is, then how long are we secured? How long? So I'm secured at salvation. I'm secured by the power of God at salvation. How long does it last then? Well, let's see. 1 Peter 1, 5 again, please. And the Bible says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready. Ready to be revealed in the last time. The moment you trust Christ, you are ready forever. For eternity. Ready. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Now don't get upset with me, ladies, but let me use this as an illustration. So you walk in the house, fellas, and your wife, and if you have daughters there, you say, let's go get a hamburger. Totally unprepared, off the cuff, you know like how men are. We get an urge. Now understand this. Let me just reveal a secret to you. It's not because we want you to have a hamburger. We want a hamburger and we want you to watch us eat one. That's what it's all about. And we don't want to just go off and have one, so we want to take the family with us. So you walk in the house and you go, let's go get a hamburger. Now you know what's going to happen. Nothing. And you know you're not going anywhere until what? Until they're ready. Because you're not going anywhere. It could be the middle of the night and you could promise them to go through the drive-thru and put a paper stinking bag over their head so no one could see them and they're still not going to go out because they're not ready. Just leave me up here by myself, you bunch of cowards. Just leave me up here. Because they're not ready. You don't walk in the house and say, let's go somewhere for the weekend. No, because they're not ready. They have to pack. They have to prepare. They have to know what stuff to bring. Let's just throw a toothbrush in the glove box and go. No, you're not going anywhere because they're not ready. Amen, Pastor Johnson. You bunch of cowards. Thank you, meditating. You're hiding is what you're doing. You leave me up here all alone by myself. That's what you're doing. Because they're not ready. Now listen to me. When they were little, they were ready. They could care less what they were wearing. You said hamburger, they're in the car. They get to junior high school, it's over. And now what's sad is a lot of the boys are like that. They got to spruce their hair and fix it all up and stuff like that. I mean, kid, get in the car, guy, what's the deal? Because they're not ready. Now what's the point? I don't know, I just wanted to gripe for a minute. Just hold on a minute. But it's salvation through faith unto salvation. Listen. Ready. Right then, ready. But wait a minute. What if I... No. God knew that. But he said, okay, they're ready now. When he saved you, he gave you eternal life. Not temporary life. Not life to a point. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, the Bible says. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Life. The moment you receive Christ, you have eternal life. It's not eternal if it's temporary. I know that's deep, but stay with the thought for a moment. It's not eternal if you can change that. It's not eternal if it lasts to a moment. It's not eternal until you do something you're not supposed to do. And let's get real for a moment, ladies and gentlemen. We say, yeah, what if you went out and murdered somebody? What if you committed this greatest sin in the Bible? The greatest sin. The greatest sin would have to be breaking the greatest commandment. Wouldn't that make sense? Jesus said in Matthew 22 what the greatest commandment was. To love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is likened to the first, that you love your neighbor as yourself. He put a twofold, singular, one great commandment principle there. And that is you had to love God with everything you are and everything you have. And you have to love your neighbors like that too. And if you don't, you break the greatest commandment. So, hey, let's skip murder. Let's go to the greatest commandment of all. Is anybody in this room arrogant enough to say that you love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and if he left it there, it'd have been easier. You have to love your neighbor, the one with the screaming idiot hound dogs, and the cat that comes over and uses your flower box for toilet. Huh? And you find the goodies when you're out there digging around in the flower box. That's right. It's wicked. I got a problem with it. I've been in the flower box lately. I just got issues, all right? You gotta love that neighbor. Plays that music at 3 o'clock in the morning, that shakes the china in the cabinet. You have to love them. Love God with all your heart and your neighbor too. See, the truth is, we break the greatest commandment of God almost every day of our lives. So, do you understand why, when He saved you, He decided at that moment to make you ready at that moment? Ready to what? Ready to be revealed in the last time. In the last time. Not at it, but in it. When the last day comes and the last moment's there and the last time is here and the trump of God sounds and the dead in Christ rise first and it's all over and said and done. But wait a minute, your salvation is not just secure to the rapture, it's secure beyond that forever. Then the dead in Christ rise first. We rise, we meet the Lord in the air. We stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Salvation is still secure. No one stands at the judgment seat of Christ and is cast from God, only there for reward or loss of reward. That's all. Your salvation is secure at the judgment seat of Christ. Then after that, there's the tribulation period, and your salvation is secure because you're with God and in heaven. So I'm a mid-trib or a post-trib man. Then fine, you go mow my grass, I'm going to be in heaven. And so we're there. We're in heaven for the tribulation period. Then after that, we return to the Lord, with the Lord, to set His foot down on this earth. And for 1,000 years, He rules and He reigns. And we don't have to send missiles into Libya. He just fixes all that junk Himself. He takes care of everything, and it's still secure. And you walk this earth as a glorified child of God, but you're still saved. You're still secure because it ain't the last time yet. And at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there's another partial resurrection. That great final judgment at the great white throne, we are there to witness, not be judged. And we're still saved because we're saved. The last time hasn't happened yet. At the end of the great white throne judgment, God bathes this universe in fire and burns up these planets that people worship and adore so much. And you have a cinder ball of the earth and save man here with God glorified. And God makes a new heaven and a new earth. But you're still saved because it ain't the last time yet. And then Jesus says, come into my Father's house. And there's the new heaven and the new earth. And there's that city four square we've been talking about these last several weeks. And you walk through the gates and it's the last time. And is it over yet? Eternity begins. And now, for the first time ever, we get to experience eternal life. And your security is still good. Ready to be revealed in the last time. Security is good forever because God guarantees that security. Question this morning, please. What we need to ask is this. Do we believe in the eternal security of the believer? What we should ask is this. Are we saved? Do we have biblical salvation? Number two, do we have a God who is sufficient to do the work of security that's greater than the way I live my life? And number three, how can we not be amazed at grace and at mercy and at the incredible work of God to give us a salvation we don't deserve and then guarantee it so we can't mess it up? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.